is marching on.
Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Appreciate here we are on the 5th of July. And appreciate again all the celebrations of our 250th anniversary. If you've been to Israel, 250 years is not a very long time. There's a lot of history. If you've been anywhere in Europe, again, seen some of the castles over there, 250 years. We're the young pups on the block. But God chose the chosen nation, Israel, but there is a nation that chose God as their God, and that is the United States of America. Again, praise the Lord for that. Thank you for the celebration. I heard some of the liberals celebrating again, and they said America was not founded as a religious institution, and it was not founded under God. Really? Okay. So, again, there's been a denial of God across our society. And I don't know how you can get away with it here in the 250th anniversary. We praise the Lord that America is a nation that chose God, not only God, but the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and King of this country. We praise the Lord for that. Let's do two things today. Let's open our Bibles to Book of Psalms again in chapter 8. Praise the Lord. Appreciate again that we've been looking at for 2 weeks now the Lord's Prayer. It's not so much the Lord's Prayer as it is a model prayer. Yeah. The Lord's Prayer, I believe, is found in chapter 17 where Jesus prayed a tremendous prayer for his people. Also in our Sunday school hour, we talked a lot about God being the wife of the church, and it was mentioned a couple times that God is the wife, or the Israel is the wife of God. Let me get that on there straight again. And then it talked a couple times that the church is also the wife of God, and that's just not true. Okay, understand this big difference, and it's a big difference. The church is to be the wife, of the Lord Jesus Christ. Israel will still be the wife of God throughout the millennium, but again, the church is to be the wife of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we're looking at some of those relationships here as we look at the Lord's Prayer. And I'm going to spend 3 weeks on just the first sentence of the Lord's Prayer. And I'd ask you to do the first sentence of the Lord's Prayer. I'll ask you to do it in your head, so we don't go too far. As it begins, when you pray, pray this: Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That's the first sentence of the Lord's Prayer. We're going to spend some time on every sentence in the Lord's Prayer and learn some things about God. And today, we're following that theme, hallowed be thy name. And so with that theme in mind, let's go open to our Bibles to the book of Psalms and chapter 8 and look into God's word. I'll let you remain seated since it's warm. Is it too warm in here? We got two air conditionings running and the door open. I don't know if that's doing us good or not. But praise the Lord. If you're too warm, switch places with someone that's too cold, then we'll be good. But appreciate again that we got through the heat wave again and rejoicing and being here this morning. Psalms chapter 8. You follow along in your Bible as I read this whole chapter from God's precious word. God's precious word. Watch the first verse here. It says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and all the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, whatsoever passes through the paths of the sea. Look at verse 9. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. I want to spend some time today looking at the first of that verses and the last here. O Lord, is your Lord there all caps? Notice that. O Lord, all caps. When you find it all caps in your Bible, it is the personal name of God, which in the Hebrew tongue, are unsure of the pronunciation, but again, it's been long received as Jehovah. There's some modernist ecumenicals who think that they know better than the old translators and think it should be Yahweh. Throw them right out with the rest of your modernist ecumenical Bibles again. Jehovah is the name of God, made up from the Hebrew. The Hebrew didn't have the vowels, so they pulled the vowels out of the other names of God. And notice here again that the pronunciation is, O Jehovah our Lord. We want to look at that in more detail here this morning. How excellent is thy name in all the earth. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I pray that you touch your words today and cause again that we'd recognize how hallowed your name is. And then have a new reverence, a fear of thee in our soul, Father, as we walk in this first week of July, to magnify your name and to again just rejoice in what you've done for this country and what you've done for us personally, to pardon us from sin and to give us a relationship with you where we could call you our Father. Thank you again for your word. Use it this morning to touch our hearts, divide our thoughts and intents, and bone and marrow, and cause again that we could hear from you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. At the name of Jesus. Tim, what's that verse say again? At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. There's a lot into a name again when we look into the Bible, way more than we've ever put there, probably in our small finite mind, to understand an infinite God. But we want to look again at the name of God and how hallowed it is. And we're going to go, this is like, I've been trying to write a children's book. I've been trying for ever since Christina was 6 years old, and she and I made an agreement in 2015 that we'd write a children's book together. I haven't published it yet. I've talked her to about it for a little while, but I do not write on a fifth grade reading level. It's all I can do to write on a fifth grade reading level. And so we're going to look at that, a little bit of that today. But again, to understand, again, just the name of God, without being on a 13th grade reading level again, 13 plus, is going to be an important lesson for us. And boy, I want us all to learn it, to use it in our daily Bible reading, just to recognize that. Look at our song, chapter 8 again, and it says, O Lord, our Lord. And notice the redundancy of that. And in English, we don't capture the difference unless you're reading it. You can't catch it verbally, O Lord, our Lord. And it is, again, because it's a characteristic here of the King James Bible that all caps is the personal name of God. And so literally that saying, O Jehovah, our Adonai, or our Lord. And if someone is your Lord, he owns you.
Yeah.
If someone is your Lord, he created you and he owns you.
Yeah.
You are made for him, and you'll do whatever he requests of you. That's a big word. And boy, I'd have us not slight it at all as we read it in our Bible when someone calls him Lord. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Showing up here are the slides that we put up last week about the earth. And here's the earth. And it's right here. It's this little pin drop. And this is what the sun is in relation to the earth. And so we look at that and say, yeah, we're a dot on a dot on a dot again in God's universe that he created. The sun and that little BB right there is the earth. Again, it's like a BB beside a basketball. Another picture. This is the sun, and this is Arcturus. This is our sun, and this is a red sun that's far out into our universe. And so last week we looked at the fact, there's another one coming up there, where our sun is a single pixel. And anyway, listen, the vastness of our universe, we don't comprehend it. It's almost incomprehensible to us. And that's why the Bible says that the heavens declare the glory of God. And the firmament, firmament's not what we're standing on. The firmament is all the space where those stars are. The firmament showeth his handiwork. And so to understand, again, what we've gone through so far, our Father, what a precious thing to be able to call God our Father. When David prayed to God, he did not pray our Father. When Moses prayed, he didn't pray our Father. Listen. When Abraham prayed to God, the Father of many nations, he didn't pray our Father. You and I are told that we could pray our Father because of what the Lord Jesus Christ did. And no one was able to do that before the Lord Jesus Christ did what he did.
Yes.
To cause again that we would be part of the family of God and we could pray our Father. Yes. Which art in heaven. And we looked at the heaven where the birds fly, the heaven where the stars fly, and the heaven where all the fullness of God is revealed and displayed continuously. And so again, we're up to the phrase where it says, hallowed be thy name. And we looked at, again, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name. Psalms 90 says, a prayer of Moses, a man of God. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Deuteronomy 3 says, for what God is there in heaven or in earth that can do according to thy works and according to thy might? Deuteronomy chapter 4, Moses learned some things about God here. Deuteronomy chapter 4 says, know therefore this day, and consider in thine heart that the Lord Jehovah, he is God in heaven. And upon the earth beneath, there is none else. Solomon said, Lord God of Israel, there is no God like unto thee, that there is none else, in 1 Kings. Five times Isaiah prayed, it said to Isaiah, I am the Lord, and there is none else. I'd almost read all eight of them, I think there were. I'll read them all again. There's none else. For I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me. And then we read in Psalms 8, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. Let the heaven and earth praise him, and the seas and everything that moveth therein. Of old thou hast laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is thy mercy toward them that fear him. Psalm 108, be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens, and thy glory above all the earth. Psalms 115, ye are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth hath he given to the children of men. Psalms 134, the Lord made heaven and earth. And listen, you and I get to call him our Father. And so again, when we look at his exalted position, we want to understand that hallowed be thy name. Turn with me in your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Malachi. If you find Matthew, just back up until you find one. If you're not hooked on phonics, we call it Malachi again. And we're going to look at Malachi chapter 3 and verse 18. Just one there. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 18. If I got my notes around this morning, I did. Praise the Lord. If you've got a Scofield Reference Bible, Malachi 3:18 has a note attached to it that goes on for a couple pages for Scofield's footnotes. And so Malachi chapter 3 and verse 18, listen to this verse. Follow along in your Bible if you got it. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked. He's talking to the nation of Israel. Now think about this. This is the closing book, Malachi, the last author. There's going to be 300 years of silence after this statement. And again, God's all done with Israel for trying to bring them around to a place where they trust and believe in him. He's cast them off into the Assyrian captivity for the 10 northern tribes to never be put back together until the day of the Lord. For the tribe of Judah, again, he sent them into the Babylonian captivity for 70 years and then brought them back, kept them again in the land with no king. And again, here at the close of Malachi, the prophet, God's last prophet here, before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Scofield, as the Old Testament closes out, chose this verse again to put a note that delineates the different names of God. And if you don't have a Scofield Bible that has that, you've got my sympathy, and I feel bad for you. And I feel so bad that I've made a chart of his chart and table again. So make sure you grab one of them before you leave and get it in your Bible in Malachi 3:18. But that chart, that table, gives the triune names of God, three names for God, the primary names, the compound names of God, and the compound names of Jehovah. And so that's three by three, that's nine again. That's a trinity in three ways to look at the names of God. Isn't that a coincidence that the Bible gives us names of God that lines up with the Trinity? No, that's not a coincidence. That's God, all right. And so here we have just an excellent outline of those three things. God, Lord, that we look at with all caps, and Lord with the lowercase to indicate again that he's my owner. I belong to him. The Hebrews is El and Elohim for God. For Lord, it is, as we said, Jehovah God, all caps. Anytime you see the name of God, either Lord or God himself, G-O-D, if it's all caps, that's the personal name of God. And I like to point it out when I'm reading. And I like to, again, make mention of it and make sure I recognize who Jehovah is as I read my Bible. and then Lord. So those three names, Lord being again Adonai in Hebrew, which is my owner, my creator, I belong to him, and that's calling him Lord. There's some people that argue about lordship salvation without understanding the meaning of that or the compound names of God. Then there's compound names of God, Almighty God. Again, in Hebrew, you've heard it probably, El Shaddai is the Almighty God. There's a couple songs out that reference El Shaddai, El Shaddai. Secondly, of a compound names is the Most High or Most High God. The Most High with a capital Most and a capital I, or with the Everlasting God. Most High God. Most High Everlasting God. And so that's El Elyon in the Hebrew. And you've probably heard that before. People reference El Elyon for God. The third compound name for God in our chart there is El Olam. And that is the Everlasting God. No beginning, no ending. He is the Everlasting God. So that's the three compound names of God. And then there's three compound names of Jehovah. Lord God is the most common, used thousands of times throughout the Bible. And that's Jehovah Elohim. Abraham learned of the Lord God, Jehovah Elohim. The Lord Jehovah is God of all the earth. And then there's Lord God with a little L-O-R-D and capital G-O-D, and that's where it's Adonai, Lord Jehovah. And that's an important one that I want to emphasize and look at here today. And then the third is the Lord of hosts, Jehovah Sabbath. It's Jehovah Sabbath, the Lord of hosts. And we see many a time, in fact, when I was talking about who the Old Testament saints prayed to, many of these compound names showed up again in the fact that they prayed to the Lord of hosts, some of the prophets did. Again, because there was great battle. They prayed to the Lord God, Jehovah Elohim. They prayed to the Almighty God, El Shaddai. And so again, we see addresses in prayer where we address him as our Father. What a tremendous thought, again, to bring that up and to keep reminding us of that. So the Trinity is suggested by the three times repeated groups of threes. This is not an arbitrary arrangement, but adheres to the Old Testament. So anyway, as I said, I again was made an agreement with our little Christina when she was 6 years old, I think 6 and a half. I made a ghostwriter's agreement that she and I would write a book called Abraham Learns the Names of God. And I just want to read you again a paragraph out of that, chapter 10, on Melchizedek, where, remember when, again, he goes and he chases after the captors of Lot, and he with his few, they aren't soldiers, his few servants, chase after the five kings that have united against all of them, and he and his servants go and conquer all five kings and send and rescues Lot and brings him back. And all the things that he has there, he gives tithes to Melchizedek, the first showing of Melchizedek. And so let me just read you on a fifth grade reading level that when Abraham received the blessing of the Prince of Peace, the King of Righteousness, called the Priest of the Most High God, he was deeply moved. Abraham had heard from the Lord God, all caps, and he built altars to, all caps, Lord God. But now, after the blessing from Melchizedek, Abraham looked to the Lord Adonai and Jehovah, the Lord God. In his Hebrew tongue, he knew the huge difference in those two names. In the English tongue, because they sound alike, many miss the meaningful distinction. In meeting this king and priest, Abraham, was told by the king of righteousness, pronounced in Hebrew, he was Melchizedek, that he, Abram, was blessed by the Most High God. This was an all-new name for Abram, and that was called from his provocative individual called Melchizedek. The king of Salem he was. When Abram first heard the voice of God from the cloud back in Ur of the Chaldees, he responded, "Lord God, Jehovah God." And he built altars to the Lord God. That very personal name implies that God is the self-existent one. That title, which includes God's personal name, is so revered in the Hebrew tongue that it is not. It is only spelled out in the English Bible 4 times in the whole Bible as Jehovah. There is given the English rendition Jehovah that by that name so holy that in English it was not spelled out even by the King James translators otherwise. Instead, they put all caps, L-O-R-D. And boy, I encourage you to watch for that when you're reading your Bible. That's the personal name of God, Jehovah, with all capital letters. The Bible is emphatic that one should never take the holy name in vain or use it lightly. With that great care and reverence, we read the personal name of God as the Jehovah God, the Lord, all caps, God. In the Hebrew tongue, that name is highly revered and guarded as Jehovah Elohim. And listen, the Hebrews never said it out loud. They'd say it to God, but they'd never say it out loud. And so for years, they never knew the pronunciation of it. We knew the letters of it. Only the consonant letters of that name. And in Exodus chapter 3, God gives it to Moses so he'd know who he was. And there it said, "I am that I am. Tell them I am have sent you." And the Hebrew letters that put together "I am" are the same Hebrew letters that put together the name Jehovah. And so when Jesus in the New Testament said, "I am the good shepherd. I am the bread of life." Every time he said, "I am," those Pharisees, those scribes, they just reeked because here he's using God's name in vain. And again, understand the hallowness of that name and the preciousness of that name. As they were writing, the scribes were writing the Bible, every time they came to the name, they stopped and paused. And then they would go out and they would change their clothes, put on new clothes, they'd wash themselves. They'd get a new pen. Every time they wrote the name Jehovah, "I am," in the Bible. And they had just a holy reverence to that. As I said, they never said it out loud. And we never knew the pronunciation of it. Still don't. But we've taken again the letters of the Jehovah God and applied them into the spelling and call him Jehovah. Let that name be as precious to you as it was to the King James translators who knew the little technique of hiding that word in all caps, the Lord. When the priest and the Most High God pronounces a special blessing on Abram, Abram starts calling on the Lord, my Jehovah. The Lord, my Jehovah, my Lord. I belong to him. He created me and I belong to him. And listen, you need to come to a place in your life where you call him my Lord Jehovah. I belong to him. He is my Lord. And when we call on him, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord
shall be saved.
Shall be saved. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. With distinction, it is very, very important and is missed by all but the most observant students that the Lord, with the smaller letters, without the capitals, comes from the Hebrew word Adonai. It conveys the idea that I am created for. I am owned by you. When Paul saw him on the Damascus road, he said, "Lord, what will thou have me to do? When you call someone Lord, then you are literally saying those two things. I am created for you. I am owned by you. In Hebrew, these names and words have very powerful meaning. In English, they need the same reverence and renderings. Remember to watch for the difference between Lord, all caps, and the Lord without the caps. It is important to a key understanding that you read in your Bible accurately and carefully. Notice that the king of Salem, Melchizedek, the priest of the Most High God, revealed to Abram. Melchizedek taught Abram a new compound name for God, never used before in the book of Genesis. In Hebrew, the title God is pronounced Elohim. The priest, the king, added an extra L, which in Hebrew made the pronunciation El Elyon, making him the God of all gods. In English, this is given as the Most High God. Second, the king and priest's blessing informed Abram that he was the property of the Most High God. That helps explain why Abram started praying and calling him Lord Jehovah. The change in capitals again emphasized the fact that Abraham knew now the Lord and called upon him in his prayer life. Lastly, Melchizedek revealed to Abraham that it was indeed the Most High God who gave him the great victory over his enemies. And so as we take those again, names of God, boy, again, I just have you just emphasize that, the importance of that. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. His name isn't very much hallowed. In a lot of Christian circles I've hobnobbed in, hallowed be thy name. In our life, let that be a hallowed name. The Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Let's be careful that we don't do that. That we again recognize what we're saying. I've heard people think they're talking religiously and trying to convince me of something. Well, I've got an agreement with the man upstairs. Listen, as soon as they say he's the man upstairs, I know they don't know him. They don't know who he is. They don't recognize him as their Lord, as a man upstairs. So be careful even how we do that. When I was a kid, I won't tell you how many times I got my mouth washed out for soap. With soap for swearing, saying, "Oh God." And so finally, we settled on that we just say, "Gosh," that would be okay. Well, pretty soon the bar of soap come out on "Gosh," okay? And so now I suppose if you text OMG, my mom will be around with a bar of soap waiting for you again. Says, but you need to be careful how you use that name. Be careful, be reverent of that name. Hallow that name in our life, in our talk, in our walk. When we hear someone else, take it in vain. When I hear someone else call him the man upstairs, I immediately say, I mean, I think it's me, but sometimes I think it's God kicking me a little bit and said, you need to go talk to that person about me again. And so be sensitive and watch for that in our lives. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I've got two more pages of verses that I'd read about the hallowness of his name. And then I've got a whole excerpt here on the Greek, again, that gives emphasis on the Lord, our Lord, and the wondrous name of God, how wondrous it is. And so two things we could look at here is looking up the works of God. You know, the Bible says when you're saved, you'll talk about the works of God. When you know God, we'll spend all of our time talking about the works of God, the things that God has done. We've emphasized in the beginning of this, and I've read several verses already that could be reiterated here, which doeth great things and unsearchable, marvelous things without number, it says in the book of Job. And so God, again, is a marvelous thing, a creator. Remember in the book of Job, where in the end, God comes to Job and says,
Where were you when I formed the earth?
When I hung it upon nothing? And he goes on for a whole chapter talking about his creation. Listen, the fact that we live in a world now that is trying with all of its efforts to deny God as our creator. My little walking stick, I've got it carved in the side in English on one side, Hebrew in the other. That in the beginning God created. Our little pens that we've been handed out says, in the beginning God. Just so again we'd recognize that there is a God who created this world. Listen, that needs a whole new emphasis in our society. From K through 12, they've been taught that we're here by accident, that it was a big bang, that it was an explosion. They even teach again, and I've quizzed them in algebra class in college. Do you believe that if you keep crossing beagles that you'll end up with a Clydesdale horse? Listen, they all believe that. All my freshman algebra students said, if you believe that, raise your hand. And all of them raised your hand, except maybe a homeschooler or one that went to a Christian school. And they just sit in the back and with their hand going like this, okay? They don't know whether they should raise their hand to fit in or recognize that, no, God doesn't create dogs and turn them into horses. God created the world and they reproduce after their own kind. Believe the Bible. When we look at space and the wonders again of this whole universe and the heaven, the firmament where God says that's where all the stars dwell and I dwell above the firmament. Listen, we believe the Bible. Last week we looked at the city. That was so tall it would barely fit in our atmosphere. We believe the Bible. And listen, we need to understand here that God is an awesome God. Yes. And we need to have awe in His name. A new reverence. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. May we see Your name exalted in our life. May be it exalted in our action. May be it exalted in our talk. May we again reprimand or at least correct or at least recognize that we don't condone someone calling you irreverently. And Father, we praise You again and thank You that we can talk to the Creator of the universe and call You our Father. Help us to do that with reverence this week. And hallowed be Thy name. Amen. Amen. Let's stand and dismiss as we started. Christ for me. Praise the Lord. And we'll work some more on the Lord's Prayer next week. Christ for me. Yes, it's Christ for me. He's my Savior, my Lord and King. I'm so happy I shout and sing. Christ for me. Yes, it's Christ for me. Every day as I go my way, it is Christ for me. Praise the Lord. If you don't have a chart of the triune names of God, there's some up here in the front. Grab one of those to get in your Bible. And Lord bless you as you walk through this first week of July.
Thank you. Happy Valentine's
Day.
I'm going to do it.
Hey, you want a Harley?
I don't like them because
they're the way they say it. Say it, Lord bless you.
I do.
So you know your head is back to your head. That means they're about at 6 o'clock.
That's the goal.
Is that right?
Outside of time.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is my buddy.
I got this
thing. So why do they believe I want to go back.
Right on the wall.
Close the
wall. I said, Lord, give me 30 years. So I
don't know. 12 by 2 feet.
Just for me.